So I remember 3 years back preaching on the same passage that we have today, because our liturgical calendar is such that the Sunday readings have a three-year cycle. And then there was this great news in the world about how, depending on the Mayan calendar, people were predicting that on December 21st, 2012, on winter solstice, that the world was going to end. I don't know if you remember this big brouhaha about it. In fact, there was a huge movie that came out by the name of 2012, and it became a blockbuster. Everybody was, and people were going to the website, checking out whether this is true, and well, 3 years later, here I am preparing for the same readings, and it struck me, gosh, if this is true, we only have a few weeks. December 21st, 2012 is fast approaching. What should we do? What should I talk about? In any case, I decided to do an internet search, and the website December 21st, 2012 still exists. There is a clock on the top that's counting down the days, the weeks, the seconds. And I also see the names of some very prominent people who are suggesting to us why we should listen to this prediction seriously, inclusive of Mel Gibson. Of course, that wants me to really listen to this message now, but I'll decide the point. On the right-hand side, you also have, very surprisingly, on the right-hand side of this website, you also have a 72-hour survival kit. And I'm saying to myself, if the world is going to end, why do I need a survival kit? But obviously, there's life beyond the end of the world. For those who want hardcore evidence, you can also go to the NASA website and read all about December 21st, 2012. And the NASA website clearly states that the world is not going to end because there just isn't enough evidence to think that it might happen. I think that Jesus was a little more tactful than the doomsayers and the NASA scientists who have made predictions claiming two opposite positions. Jesus simply stayed away from predicting a yay or a nay. And today, as I preach about this, I want to take this position along with Jesus. Honestly, will the world end on the 21st of December or not? I do not know. But I think to focus on the prediction of the end of the world is simply to miss the point about today's meeting. And I want to delve into the deeper meaning of what's going on with readings such as the ones that we have today. So I'm going to then take you to reflect upon this passage from a very different context. Most of all, we do not think about this context, and it is from the context of what we call apocalyptic literature. The book of Revelation also talks about the great apocalypse, and so unless we understand this from that context, we may miss the point of the reading. Apocalyptic literature developed in the context of persecutions. Remember, this has been the history of the people of God. In the Jewish, in the Hebrew times, the people of Israel, when they came and occupied the Promised Land, constantly they faced sometimes invasion, sometimes oppression, sometimes persecution at the hands of forces that were contrary to what they believed. So they faced persecution and invasion, for example, from the Babylonians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And apocalyptic literature develops in the context of the suffering that comes from persecution. And this is crucial for us to remember. Because if we miss this point, then we can understand today's readings completely differently and we may make wrong conclusions. The Christians also faced persecution. In fact, the first 300 years of Christianity was a life of intense suffering and persecution. Now, the passage that we have today from Mark, it's called Little Apocalypse. In other words, there was a rumor that went about that the Emperor Caligula was about to set up his statue in the main sanctuary of the temple. Caligula also unleashed untold persecution upon the church. But the persecution did not end with Caligula. During the latter part of Emperor Nero, there was a Jewish revolt and the temple was completely destroyed, the Jewish temple. And you know from history that Nero burned Rome and he blamed the Christians for that fire. And hundreds of thousands of Christians were then persecuted during his reign. So keep this history of persecution in mind as we reflect upon the readings that we are doing today. So three very brief things to say about these readings and how they can be helpful for us. First, what is the crux of apocalyptic literature? I think these readings are saying that salvation comes at the darkest moment. In fact, if you look at our lives, it's when our life is down in the dumps that we really yearn for God. We long for God to come and rescue us. That's when our prayer is most intense. And so in the times of suffering and persecution, there are Christians who are praying to God for deliverance. The way apocalyptic literature is formulated, things get increasingly worse before the new age comes. And that's why you hear readings like the sun will fail, the moon will fail, the stars will fall. Things will get increasingly bad before God can save us. So I think really then that apocalyptic literature is a commentary on life. Is there any person who does not face strife? We may not face persecution, but then we experience sickness, financial difficulties, misunderstandings, violence, and war. And what is it that we hope when life is not going the way we think it should go? We pray for God's deliverance. So for example, yesterday, 6:30 in the morning, I was at the deathbed of someone who was dying. I'm there with the daughter of this really elderly woman who was dying. Death is a strife. And all we can offer in that moment of death is the hope that God brings to us. And that's what apocalyptic literature is like. So if we reflect on the history of the church, we'll see the church has always suffered. There's always strife, just like our life. We reflect on the martyrs. We reflect on the life of the saints. We reflect on the millions of Christians who stood firm in their faith. So as we look back, we see this history. And then we come to the realization of our present situation. Our faith is built upon the suffering and the strife of the previous generations. And knowing what we know, we can look towards the future. Because just as God has rescued the church in the past and brought us to here today, we believe that God will even take us forward into eternity. So really speaking, apocalyptic literature is about the hope that God offers to those who continue to be faithful in the midst of strife. And I'm sure you can see that play out in your own lives. When life was hard, when life was tough, when you lost somebody, you lost a job, or life was down in the dumps because of sin and misery, somehow God rescued us and brought us forward. So keep this in mind. These kinds of readings are telling us that God is with us now. But it's also telling us that God will take us from now into eternity. Secondly, along with the hope that these readings offer us, they also offer us an advice. They're inviting us to live life wisely. And the word wisdom is crucial as we understand today's readings. And my mind goes to the recent hurricane we had in the East Coast. Before the hurricane came, the authorities were pleading with people. They said, please leave these areas. Please evacuate, because if you don't, it's all possibility that you may die. And then orders like these come. There are some people who cannot leave simply because either they're alone, sick, elderly, the poor, their resources are limited, they cannot leave. But there are those who choose not to leave in spite of the warnings. Now if I was there, I would gather all my precious belongings, whatever is necessary, and I'd move to a safer place. And I would think that that's the wise thing to do. These readings are offering us something similar. They're telling us that life is uncertain. We don't know what can happen to us and when. We really do not. But there are some things that we do know. So Jesus says, learn from the fig tree. Today's reading from Daniel says, but the wise shall shine brightly. Folks, in other words, the world as we know it, one day will be no more. Our nation will be no more. Everything that we have collected will be no more. The people that we love and around us, some of them will be no more. There's only one thing that lasts through it all. That is God. Who then is the wise person? The wise person is the one who understands the uncertainty of life, but also understands the hope that God offers us. That's the wise person. The wise person is the one who understands the uncertainty of life and the hope that God offers and lives accordingly. A wise person who lives his life with this perspective deeply ingrained in their mind. So God offers us hope, but God also offers us be wise about how we navigate through life. And thirdly, I want to talk about the fear that apocalyptic literature can create in people. So if you read readings like there will be wars and insurrections and the sun will stop shining and the moon will stop shining and the stars will fall from the sky, and this big battle in the book of Revelation between the forces of evil and that can all be pretty frightening. And the question we can ask is, are these readings meant to frighten us? So that out of fear we may love God? And I think that is to miss the point of these readings. The purpose of any apocalyptic literature is not to beat people into submission, but rather to encourage them to remain faithful in the midst of strife. The only people that need to be afraid are people whose lives are in disarray. If my life is in place, if I can stand before God and justify my life, I don't have to be afraid. The only people who have to be afraid are those who can stand before God and not justify their life. So I guess the question that comes to our mind is simply this. Okay, this whole prediction about December 21st, 2012, maybe it was preposterous. But the point is not that. The point is, if this world was going to end on December 21st, 2012, if it was actually going to happen. Are you ready? Am I ready? That's the point. If we find ourselves ready, then we have nothing to fear. But if you're not, then here is an opportunity for us to come to God and say, God, I believe in the hope that you give me. And I pray that we can be a people not of fear, but together we can be a people of peace. We all sometimes, and I'm going to conclude with this, we all sometimes focus on how Christ will come to us at the end, but we always forget that Christ comes to us every week in this Eucharist, the same Christ. It's no different than Christ who will come to us at the end of the world, the same Christ. He may come differently. But today, just today, we have the opportunity to stand before God. Christ comes to us now in this bread and wine. It's one thing to prepare for the end of the world, but right now Christ confronts us just as we are. May we find ourselves in peace as we receive Christ in the Lord. People of God, say, amen.